He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small, a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. There was a movie back in 1986 called The Fly, and there's a phrase that comes to us from that film, and it is, be afraid. Be very afraid. Given, for instance, example, the gyrating financial markets and how perhaps the shootings and a trip to Walmart can be deadly, it's very easy for us to be afraid, to be very afraid. I'm sure each of us can pick our fear of the day, if you will, our worry. Perhaps it's a relationship conflict and collapse, career, financial ruin, if you will. You know, health issues, you know, health just starting to kind of slip away from us. I'm sure you can fill in the blank in terms of fear. It is very difficult to live a faith-filled life given the turbulent world in which we live, given kind of our own sinful flesh as such and the enemy that prevails around us. And yet, we heard Jesus' words. He said, do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. Now, when Jesus spoke these words, his life was in peril. Of course, he had set his face like a flint. He's going to Jerusalem. He knows what awaits him, suffering and death, an agonizing suffering death for the sin of humankind. He's speaking to gathering crowds who are hanging on his every word because they're looking for a word to kind of secure their lives in a turbulent world. He's speaking to his disciples. They are on and soon will be on an even more perilous mission to bring forth the kingdom. They will face, you know, violent opposition. Their lives certainly will be threatened. Fear not. Do not be afraid. In Luke 12, if your Bibles are open, Jesus kind of goes through and kind of catalogs some of the fears of the day. He says to the crowds, he says to his disciples, says to you and me, do not be afraid. He's talking about death. Do not be afraid of death. Anybody among us here that has some fear of death? But Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not fear death. Rather, fear him who can, you know, put your body to death as such and has the authority to kind of deliver you into hell. But Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid that he will keep us from the fires of hell. He will care for us with detailed tenderness. He says to you, he says to me, as he said to them, even the hairs upon your head are numbered. Even the hairs upon your head are numbered. And he talks, too, about what the disciples will say. They're going to come before councils. They're going to be in the synagogues. They're going to need to give an account for their faith in Jesus. It will be threatened. He says, do not fear what you will say. What do they say? Public speaking, one of the greatest fears, top five, after spiders and some of these kinds of things. Anybody fear speaking publicly? One day, you and I will find ourselves to give an account for our faith in Jesus. It may be a dinner party. Jesus says, do not fear what you will say. He will give us the words. The Spirit will give us the words. Do not be afraid. 22 and following brings us to our reading for today and the fact that each of us has concern and worry about food, clothing, and shelter. Anybody worrying about basic needs being met? Jesus says, do not worry about what you will eat, what you will wear. And in 24, he says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. You know, the ravens and what we called back in the day growing up crows, they were considered unclean by the Jewish people. Yet Jesus is saying our Father cares even for unclean crows, birds. They do not have an elaborate agricultural plan for provision. They're not storing up. They're trusting. They're trusting their good Father, the Father of all, Father of creation, the bounty of God to take care of them. And Jesus says, you know, if God cares for unclean birds, certainly he will care for you, his beloved. Do not be afraid. And he talks about adding a cubit of life. You know, it's kind of a span, another stretch, another step in your life. Don't, you can't do anything about it. Yet probably worrying even mitigates against it, huh? Do not worry that God is sovereign, that he's in control. And then we read about the lilies of the field, how they neither grow or toil nor spin, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like these. You know, when the rains come in Palestine, you know, the parched, dusty hills then are, bloom, and then there's carpeted with, you know, with grasses and lilies, flowers and the like. And yet their lifespan is but a day or a couple of days. They dry up, they wither, they blow away. You know, soon they will be used, perhaps, if they don't blow away, for, you know, fuel for fire, for cooking. In spite of it all, God is clothing them, giving them beauty and splendor that really outdid Solomon in all his glory and splendor. If God so clothes grass, flowers of the field, will he not clothe you? Do not be afraid. Even so, as I've kind of rambled through this, we still have our fears, do we not? We still have our worries, our concerns. As I mentioned, we live in a fallen world. We know about how we can easily, the sinful flesh, and start to obsess and start to fixate on, you know, scarcity, not having enough. What about? As mentioned, we have an enemy who works against faith and trust in the power of God's word to secure and encourage us going forward. And so we worry, we hoard, we become overly self-absorbed, and we lose our freedom to sow generously into those who are in need and discovering further provision of God. So verses 31 and 32, Jesus really does give us a plan. I mean, throughout this reading, he's acknowledging the fact that we have our fears. In fact, he says, little flock, you of little faith. He acknowledges, he understands our worries and concern. But in 31 and 32, we kind of have a game plan to grow forward, to increase in faith. And this is about becoming rich towards God. I'm talking about a growing faith, becoming richer in faith in God, the God who's promised to provide. the God who has promised to shield and protect us. Let's look a little more closely at verses 31 and 32. After acknowledging again the fear and how the worry and the nations are out there, he then says, your father before in verse 30, your father knows you need these things. Then he says in 31, indeed, strive for his kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. 32, do not be afraid, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Striving for the kingdom is about living in faith in God who's promised to richly provide. Striving in faith in light of the God who has promised to bring forth his reign and rule in the midst of our darkened world right here and now in the person of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. We strive in faith in light of the God, our Father, whose good pleasure it is to give us the kingdom, his reign and rule right here and now. And so we hear that phrase throughout our Father. We're talking about our good Father. We're not talking about some distant sovereign emperor and we're trusting whatever they can decree and bring forth. We're talking about the creator of all things. We're talking about your Father and my Father, the sovereign God. God is not constrained to give us the kingdom. God is free. Again, God is sovereign. But it is our Father's good pleasure, deepest delight, joy to give us the kingdom. It's his pleasure. And when I talk about that, it's God's good pleasure, delight, joy to give us the kingdom. I'm talking about first and foremost to give us the gift of himself, the gift of his presence. In the midst of whatever you face, whether you feel God or not, the presence of God. Sometimes we see it, in retrospect, after we've journeyed through a tough time. It is God's good pleasure to give you a sense of his presence, his strength to uphold you in the midst of challenges, and even challenges perhaps you've brought on yourself. It is God's good pleasure, God's deepest delight and joy to give you mercy each and every day. God does not begrudgingly, give us mercy and grace. Isn't it amazing that each and every day we can begin anew in the forgiveness, mercy, and grace of God, a fresh start? Can I hear an amen to that? It's your Father's good pleasure to give you mercies new unto us each day. It is God's good pleasure, deepest delight, to provide for our needs, to give us the daily bread of a word of God spoken into our hearts and mind through the Holy Spirit. Or something, a scripture passage, a word is impressed on our heart, a word we need to hear. Hear this too. It is God's pleasure, deepest delight, joy to give us meaning and purpose. Think about it. This world in which we live, people are just beset by loneliness and a lack of purpose, a what for? The march and the increase of suicide, disillusionment. And we have the very presence of our Father who gives us purpose and meaning, who wants to partner with us in terms of redeeming and bringing renewal. We have, hear this, we have the greatest purpose each and every day in the midst of a fallen world to glorify the name of God. And by that I mean to represent Jesus well. From the overflow of the grace and mercy, the love of God in our lives, to represent Jesus well in this world, each and every day, by the power and strength of God. God's deepest delight and joy to give us assurance of heaven, the very presence of God, to be in the very presence of loved ones who have gone before. No more pain, no more crying, the former things. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure. But here's the deal. Oftentimes, or most of the time, we have to come to the end of ourselves. We come to the end of ourselves in terms of trying to manage our way forward, how we want things to unfold according to our timing. Oftentimes, we have to come to the very end of ourselves before we're ready to receive the kingdom, God's pleasure to receive. It is God's pleasure to give us, when we come to the end of ourselves, the kingdom. Because again, it's about God and the goodness of God and glorifying his name. We say the kingdom of God is not earned, but received. Did you hear that? That doesn't mean we sit in the house and we do nothing. But it does mean that as we engage faith, we look for the activity, we look for where God is at work and seek to join him with respect to his agenda. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I had a conversation with one of you this past week, and this person said, is there never not a time when God is not on duty? Here's the point of that phrase. This person had a fall 2 or 3 months ago. As a result of that fall, however, not a good thing in the immediate moment, of course, but discovered some underlying, hidden, serious health concerns. And as a result of that fall, God's fatherly care, his sovereign work, identifying these health concerns and then addressing them and feeling more confident about this person, feeling more confident about their health going forward. The person also described a conversation they were having with a paint contractor. And after talking about the painting job that needed to be done and bid and the like, this contractor started to kind of segue into the fact that my partner's mother is having surgery this morning, has a serious health concern, and then spoke about this serious health concern. And the person I was speaking with had a family member who had that same health concern. So she was able to kind of just speak some encouragement and faith into the situation. And perhaps even potentially the contractor's partner who is with his mother at the time. Is he never not on duty? Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. One other example. Some of you know my daughter adopted a dog, MJ. I know I've been having you guys pray for it. I'm sorry. A year ago, September, from a kill shelter from Maricopa. And, you know, really loved on this dog. My daughter's going to be a senior in college now, has a full-on, class list, has a practicum, not a practicum, but has an internship. There it is. Has an internship. She's going to be gone all day. And so, she is loved on this dog, but it's just challenging to provide the kind of care the dog needs. And so we've been caring for this dog, too, for the last 4 months. And my wife and I, after 37 years of parenting kids and raising dogs, cats, hamsters, gerbils, snakes, no, I'm just kidding, we're kind of ready to take a break. So we've been kind of, and I don't usually pray like this to God, but I gotta admit, Thursday night I'm going, Lord, can you just throw me one bone? You know, this innocent dog needs a home. God, can you just do this personally for me so that I know you're engaged and you care? So 5 o'clock Friday night, I get a text from somebody. Is this Pastor John and is the white dog still available? Somebody posted, I don't know if it's you or who did it, but someone posted at the Starbucks on Tatum and Thunderbird something about Mary Jane, MJ. And so then I had a series of texts with this person, and it was kind of a meet and greet last night at 6 with respect to the dog. And this is a 27-year-old woman who has a 2.5-year-old son, and then a corgi that's rather old and lives with her grandparents and looking for a dog and has a backyard, has a palatial estate for that dog to live. I'm just kidding. You think that's God? God's provision. It's your Father's good pleasure. I'm trusting that is. So we're going to make the transfer at noon today, and I'm feeling kind of bad about it. You know, I love this one. But probably one would say, not that bad. So we'll transfer the dog, leash included, and some meds as well. So. It is your Father's. Do you believe it? It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the reign and rule of God. Oftentimes the kingdom is hidden. It happens in difficult, challenges, circumstances where we can't see God is at work, but we trust God. Then all of a sudden we see the presence of God, that God is at work. So I want to give you just briefly in closing here for the next few minutes, three key Bible verses that have been helpful for me in light of the kingdom that God has promised to give our good Father. I want to give you three Bible verses that help us, that illustrate how we strive forward in light of the kingdom that comes. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you've heard this before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. All of us know the pitfalls of going forward, taking action based on our own insight. But here we're to trust God with all our heart. And for me, this means that before I take action, it really means taking time to pray, to press into prayer, to wait upon God, to seek to hear the very voice of God speak to us as we engage Scripture. But really, not my will, but thy will be done. Our Father's good will be done. God will lead forward. The kingdom is among us. A second passage that's helpful. But he said to me, and this is Paul, he had that thorn in his flesh. It must have maybe hindered his ministry. He felt it was a detraction from it, the thorn in his flesh. So he besought the Lord three times. But then he received this word from God. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. God oftentimes, or most of the time, calls us beyond ourselves. He calls us to engage some type of ministry or some type of task of life, and we know it's beyond us, and we seek to rely upon God because we have come to the end of ourselves and say, God, I can't do this, but I trust that you give the Spirit without measure, that you will give me your grace and mercy to accomplish what you desire to accomplish, even in weakness. And you know what? God does it. And he gets the praise. He gets the glory. Another way to press on forward, striving in faith, being rich in God in light of the kingdom come. Here's the third verse. Take delight in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight. Delighting in the Lord is having come to a place in your faith journey that God really can be trusted, that he is good. I delight in you, Lord. You provide. You protect. You are so good. And in light of that delighting in God, then we seek to glorify his name, to make his name known. When your heart is aligned with God in this regard, he gives you the desires of your heart because what your heart desires is what he desires. It is a journey. Take delight in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you believe that? That God is good. To be rich in faith in God, then, as we strive in light of the kingdom come, is then to store up treasures in heaven. We discover as we journey in faith, moving from fear to faith, we discover a God whose pleasure it is to give us good things. As believers, relationships, Christian community, strength, you know, empowerment to do what he calls us to do. Delight, sheer delight and joy as God leverages your life to touch another, whatever the circumstance or situation. The true riches of God, storing up treasures in heaven. And we're inspired then to generously give to others so that others can praise God to. In light of the truth that it is your Father, your good Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom, what are you sensing God is saying to you right now in terms of your life? In particular, where do you feel you're being called to step into worry and fear with faith in God? Where is it you are being called? You, because of your good Father, where is he calling you to step into worry and fear with faith? To strive, yes, to strive for the kingdom, to seek ye first the kingdom. Just remember, it truly is your Father and my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we're trusting through the prompting of your Spirit right now, even, Lord. You're calling us to a step of faith, to seek ye first the kingdom. In light of the fact that your kingdom is truly among us, that you give the Spirit without measure, you give us grace and mercy anew each day. So, Lord, again, give us ears to hear. Make it clear, Lord. Make it clear what you would have us to do, the step of faith right now. So as we step into that, God, we discover the reality, God, of your presence, your power guiding us along our way, the way you have set out for us. So we're trusting you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.